The passage that we have today comes from Luke 14. And it's interesting because we have been on a sermon series for the last 3 weeks. And now that we've finished the sermon series of Meeting God at a Crossroads, we're going back to the lectionary and we're jumping into the passage of Luke. And it's not easy to hear the words of Jesus. It's actually can be a little uncomfortable to hear the words of Jesus, and I would like to read them to you. It's coming from chapter 14, and it says this. It says, "Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who are watching it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This person began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to face the one coming against him with 20,000. Otherwise, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and requests terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions." Amen. And so it's complicated to try to explain this passage in a sermon. But I think what we can do is we can grab some of the golden nuggets from the passage and we can try to see in which ways is this text speaking to us. And one of the things that we've heard this service is the prayer from John Wesley. And it's a prayer that shows a type of discipleship, a type of living faith that is very unique. It says, "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will, put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal." It's a covenantal prayer that connects so well with the words of Jesus from Luke 14. In the passage, Jesus wants us to count the cost of what it means to be a disciple. In this precious prayer from John Wesley, we see a model of discipleship that is aware of its costs, and yet it's bold enough to take those steps into following Jesus and following the risks. Who wants to be empty? Who wants to be suffering? Who wants to be doing? There are times where we're tired of suffering. We're tired of doing things continuously. We want to be full. We don't want to be empty. And so this prayer can make us feel uncomfortable, just like the passage that we've read, just like the words of Jesus. And so I grew up in the South for 20 years of my life, since I was 9 years old. And we love our tea and our Jesus sweet. And so I was brought up with this idea of Jesus, this loving and sweet Jesus who healed people who were sick, who included those who were not included, who said words of love and compassion all the time. And at some point in my life, I dealt with crisis that were very hard for me. And so in those times of my youth, I met the Jesus, the challenging Jesus, the Jesus that challenge me to be better with words and with deeds, Jesus. Challenge me to be all that I could be, even in those times of crisis. So I had to raise my brothers for some time on my own. I had to fight for my own college education when everyone else told me that I couldn't go to college. And even when I felt lonely and struggled with fear. And so it is in this time that I met, that I was able to go beyond the one-dimensional Jesus that I had learned in my upbringing. And so it was no longer about just feeling good and just about feeling like a good Christian, but it was also about seeking for those difficult answers that are not just binary, that don't have the binary answers, good and bad, black and white. And so that pushed me into a deeper faith. And so the challenge of Jesus comes this morning and can make us feel a little uncomfortable. And this prayer from John Wesley's also mirrors those tough words from Jesus. It's hard stuff. It is very, very hard stuff. I remember one of the dearest memories of my dad and I was whenever he taught me how to drive a manual car. He taught me, I was 14 years old, and it was a 1996 Chevy Beretta. And I remember that he was able to move his manual car with so much grace, so smooth. And it was as though the car was an extension of his body. It was just where he wanted it to go, it went. And when it was my turn to do it, the car didn't move as smooth and as easy as I wanted it to. So it took me a long time. It was hard for me to drive this car. I remember also being a kid and seeing him drive in dark roads and in rainy roads and foggy roads. And I used to think, wow, how can he do it? How can he drive? How can he know what's coming? And I admired him so much while I saw him drive. And eventually it became my turn to drive in a road where I couldn't see past a certain limit. And so there are challenging things that Jesus invites us to. And we know that we're not alone. We know that it will cost us a whole lot. And Jesus is reminding us that it may cost us even our family, our own life. How is it that it can cost our lives? How is it? It's this kind of faith that reminds us of the first Christians. Remember that whenever Christianity began, this movement, Christianity wasn't at the center of society, it was at the periphery. Christianity wasn't the religion of the empire. It was outcasted as one of those cults or sects. And so it's this kind of faith that we see in this passage that Jesus is sharing with us. And so counting this cost of discipleship is hard. It is very hard. But Jesus is calling us, our followers of Christ, to be aware of the cost of discipleship before taking the vow to follow Christ and to take up the cross. But just as there's first responders who are aware of the many costs that there is in being a firefighter, and being an EMT, and being a military personnel, law enforcement, and other vocations that deal with life-threatening unknowns, we as disciples are also called into living this life of a disciple, no matter what sacrifice we may do. And we don't know each of the sacrifices that we will take. Just like a parent, we as parents, we as grandparents, we as uncles or aunts, as family members, have taken some sacrifices for our own family. We also, as disciples of Jesus, will not know what Jesus will call us into doing. And just as there are students and teachers, librarians, bus drivers, nurses, janitors, school personnel getting ready for this new school year,
They know that's going to be hard work. But we don't know how much hard work this new school year will take. And so we know it's going to be hard, but how hard can it be? We don't know. Just as we don't know the cost of discipleship of Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't know the exact cost because each person is different. And what may be a sacrifice for others may be a small inconvenience for some of us. But what Jesus is encouraging us is to say, yes, we are willing to take the highest cost. Highest cost relationally, highest cost physically. To pledge that, yes, Jesus, I'm going to be with you no matter what. And so as we get this new school season started, as we relaunch, restart, reboot, and get ready for the last quarter of the year, we can recommit to doing our best to follow Jesus. To remember whenever we, through a worship song, through a camp experience, through a conversation with a friend, learn about Jesus for the first time. Or whenever we re-encounter Jesus after a few years of not going to church and how that experience was. Perhaps it was a sermon. Perhaps it was a hymn. Perhaps it was the silence of a night where you were struggling with something. And so we're called to really feel where our heart is as disciples of Jesus Christ. And to remember that sweet moment that we encountered Jesus. That moment where Jesus challenged us to be all that we can be. And so we're called to accept and embrace one another, to remain together with the mission to transform the world. Even as now there's talks, even more talks about divisions within our denomination, conversations about disaffiliations, even in these tough times, we will continue to look forward, focus on the mission, and not being distracted by the quarrels of this life, of society, and that we will stand up for inclusivity, we will stand up for those who are vulnerable, because they too are made in the image of Jesus Christ, and we're not going to waver to that. And whenever we go through a time of crisis, that we can also sing and pray, like in Psalm 139, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts in every way." Let us pray. Wonderful Jesus, you know us better than anyone can. And as we are praying here, we're just praying for our congregation, for our communities, for those who are watching online, that you call them, continue calling them into a new way of living faith, to a new and bold way of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you can call us to be yours, that you can call us to live that prayer of John Wesley, to say, "God, let me be full, let me be empty, let me have nothing, let me have everything. But in the midst of all of that, let me have your presence. Let me have the reassurance that you will be with us no matter what." All of this we pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.